This is your life, episode 85. This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Is everything you dreamed it would be when the world was younger and you had everything? Hello and welcome to this episode of This Is Your Life. My name is Michael Hyatt, and this is the podcast dedicated to intentional leadership. My goal is to help you live with more passion, work with greater focus, and lead with extraordinary influence. In this episode, I'll be talking about what to do if you work for a bad boss. If this hasn't happened to you already, it will soon, I promise. Eventually, you're going to work for someone who is immoral, incompetent, or just plain mean. Maybe all three. Well, maybe you're in that situation now, and if so, don't despair. In this episode, I'm going to share with you five ways to cope and use this situation to your long-term advantage. You can find the outline, the resource links, and a complete transcript in the show notes at michaelhyatt.com/85, as in episode 85. I'll be back in a minute with some thoughts on this topic.
The idea of writing and publishing the book can be very overwhelming. It is hard to know where to start and what is the right thing to do. The good news is that trusted and reliable help is available for you. Get Published from Michael Hyatt will give you instant access to Michael's 3 decades of knowledge as a publisher, literary agent, and author. This 21-part audio series will tell you how to publish your work and become a successful and thriving author. Michael is confident that Get Published will help your message get noticed in a noisy world. So take action now and give yourself the very best chance to become a best-selling author. MichaelHyatt.com/Get Published.
You know, about once a week, I get an email from someone who wants to know how to work for a bad leader. Maybe their boss is a jerk. Maybe he's just incompetent. Occasionally he's immoral, but regardless, they're not quite sure how to lead well in this kind of situation. And I've been in this situation a few times, unfortunately, but I'll never forget the first time. Back when I was in college, I took a summer job working at a small engine repair shop, you know, chainsaws, lawnmowers, go-karts, that kind of thing. Well, this by itself is comical because I'm like one of the most non-mechanical people I know. Well, fortunately, they hired me as a parts clerk rather than as a repairman. But even there, I struggled because I didn't know a thing about small engines or any engines for that matter. My boss, I'll call him Jerry, was a very, very unhappy person, and he let everybody know it. He didn't think twice about arguing with customers or chewing out his staff, even in public. And I was on the receiving end of his flame-throwing tongue on more than one occasion. Well, one time, right after I first started, a customer asked for a certain lawnmower part, and I had to look it up in one of those giant books that we kept behind the calendar, you know, a giant catalog. So I fumbled around for a couple of minutes. I couldn't find it. I was starting to get embarrassed with the customer, so I finally asked Jerry, and I'll never forget his response. He looked at me like I was a complete idiot. He sighed, and then he grabbed another book off the shelf and slammed it on the countertop, and then he said, "I'm going to show you one more time." I mean, it was that deliberate and that brutal. And I was mortified. Well, then he flipped through the pages like he was, you know, ripping through them until he found the one he wanted. And then he pointed at it and he said, "You see this part?" "Yes, sir." "Well, don't stand there looking at it. Go get it." I don't think I've ever been so humiliated. That may not sound like a big deal to you, but it was a big deal to me. I felt stupid. I felt small, I felt afraid, and I ended up sticking with that job for reasons I'll go into later in this episode, but it wasn't easy. It was really tough. The funny thing about it was that when the summer was up, Jerry came to me and he said, "Look, I don't want to lose you. I think you have what it takes to eventually run this store, and I'm willing to give you a promotion and a nice raise if you stay." Well, I can tell you, I wanted to say, "Are you kidding me? I've been counting the days until I'm done with this job." But I didn't. I thanked him and I moved on. Honestly, if I had known then what I know now, I would have thanked him profusely for teaching me so much about leadership that summer. Sure, you can learn from positive role models, but in my experience, if you're teachable, you can learn even more from negative ones. My friend Skip Pritchard, who used to be the CEO at Ingram Publishing Group, said this to me in a private note. He said, look, as I look back on my career, more often than not, I'm quoting one of the bad leaders. That person taught me far more about leadership and about myself than anyone else could have. He went on to say, it's the same with teachers. The most difficult ones, the ones I struggled with, the ones who I thought were completely unreasonable, years later, those teachers are the ones I owe the most thanks. They pushed me and taught me more than I realized. And I would have to agree with Skip. That's been my experience as well. And probably if you look back on your own experience, that's been your experience too. But that's often tough to swallow when you're in the middle of a situation like I described with a very mean boss. Maybe for you, it's someone who's incompetent. Maybe they're not mean, or maybe they're immoral. Well, what do you do? In this episode, I'd like to share with you 5 ways to cope and maybe even thrive if you're in this situation. Number one way to cope, manage your expectations. You know, when you read a lot of books and blogs about leadership, and when you listen to a lot of podcasts about leadership or go to conferences, it's really easy to become idealistic. And if you're not careful, you can create a set of expectations that no one could possibly meet. And what you have to remember in this situation is that your boss is human. They're not a superhero. You know, they probably haven't read all the leadership books or listened to all the podcasts you have. They may not take it as seriously as you do, but they're human and fallen at that. And they're probably struggling with their own fears, their own wounds, their own weaknesses, and they've got their own accountabilities and pressure. And your boss, if he's like most bosses, he or she is probably going to experience good days and bad, just like you experience. And it's really easy to kind of give ourselves the benefit of the doubt, but to not give our boss the benefit of the doubt. But they're just human. They're not perfect. They're not going to be perfect. And you've got to manage your expectations. Second way to cope, evaluate the impact. What kind of effect is your boss having on you and your teammates? Is he or she overbearing and abusive, or incompetent or careless, or maybe just checked out or inaccessible? And I've worked in all these situations, and each of them requires a different response. Some are easier to put up with and manage around than others. For example, I once had a boss who was going through a divorce, and because of that, was just not accessible to those of us on his team. And this gave me the opportunity to step up and fill the vacuum, not by assuming authority or trying to boss everybody around, but by looking for opportunities to listen, to be empathetic, and to serve. Or in another situation, I had a boss who was overbearing and abusive. And in that situation, I had to muster the courage to speak up and set tangible boundaries. This guy had chewed me out in front of my subordinates. So I went to him in private, told him that was unacceptable. And I also told him he could say anything he wanted to me in private, but if he undressed me again in front of my team, I would quit on the spot. And it never happened again. And in another situation, I had a boss who was just flat out incompetent. And in that situation, I refused to speak ill of him behind his back, though everyone in the company complained about him. And believe me, I was tempted. Instead, I just kept showing up, doing my best work. Well, eventually, his boss fired him and promoted me to his position. So the second way is to evaluate the impact. The third way to cope with the situation is to consider your options. You know, if the situation is bad enough, it may warrant your resignation. I've only been in one job where I did this, and frankly, knowing what I know now, I wished I had stayed. I think I really could have learned a lot, and I shortchanged myself by checking out early, and it all depends on the circumstances. Your circumstances may be entirely different. Most situations provide an opportunity to learn if you're alert and teachable, and some of the best lessons I've ever learned were from bad bosses. But I've also seen many people stay in bad situations and tolerate abuse that wasn't good for them, wasn't good for their company, and honestly, it wasn't good for their boss. The real issue was that they lacked the courage to speak up. And too often in life, we get what we tolerate. Well, personally, I'm willing to put up with a lot of abuse when it comes or when it's directed toward me, but it becomes unacceptable when it's directed toward others. And by the way, if you happen to be a Christian and you're listening to this and wondering how this fits into your ethical system, I think you'll find the same behavior in Jesus. He put up a lot of abuse toward himself, but when it came to other people, he was quick to speak out and even throw the tables over, as he did with the money changers in the temple. So the third way to cope with a bad boss is just to consider your options, because you probably have more options than you realize, and you don't want to be sitting in a situation feeling trapped. You always want to be in a situation where you realize that they can control everything, but they can't control your response. That's your choice. This, by the way, is the great insight from Viktor Frankl, who survived the Holocaust and came to an enormous breakthrough when he realized that nobody could take away from him his freedom to choose. So the third way, consider your options. Fourth way to cope with the situation, be assertive. You know, bad bosses have a way of creating a culture of fear where people are afraid to speak up. You feel like you're walking on eggshells. And this may be the perfect opportunity for you to become more courageous. And let me tell you, courage is one of the most important attributes of effective leaders. This, by the way, doesn't mean you need to be disrespectful, and it doesn't require that you become inappropriately aggressive. I'm not suggesting that. Being assertive means giving voice to your needs and establishing clear boundaries. It's emotionally healthy, it's professionally appropriate, and you've got to do it. Be assertive. If you struggle with this, I highly recommend that you read Henry Cloud and John Townsend's book, Boundaries: When to Say Yes, How to Say No to Take Control of Your Life. It's a seminal book. It's one of the most important books you can ever read, not only in terms of your career, but in terms of your relationship with friends, family, and all the rest. So the fourth way to cope with this is to be assertive. Fifth way to cope with a bad boss is to support him publicly. You know, someone once said, public support leads to private influence. And I think that's exactly right. When I've been in these situations, I've refused to publicly debate my boss or to gossip about him behind his back. I look for positive attributes, and everybody has them, by the way, and publicly affirmed those attributes. And I was loyal when he wasn't present, and that gave me credibility when I needed it later. So let me conclude this segment of the episode with one last story. I once had a boss chew out one of my direct reports in public. And I was embarrassed, frankly. I was embarrassed for my boss. I was embarrassed for my direct report. And I was angry. And I did my best to end the conversation civilly and move the agenda along. But immediately after the meeting, I met with my boss privately and I recounted what had transpired, because sometimes bosses aren't aware of it. I didn't raise my voice. I was very matter of fact, but I told him that his behavior was unacceptable, that it was unproductive, and it would ultimately keep him from getting the results he wanted. And sometimes, oftentimes, you have to frame it in terms of them trying to get what they ultimately want. So I said to him, I said, look, in order for me to be effective in serving you, I need you to go to Ron, the person he had offended, the person who worked for me. I need you to go to Ron and personally apologize. If you don't, it'll undermine your leadership and mine. And if you do, it'll restore your credibility and win the respect of your team. I'm counting on you to do the right thing. Well, it was a very difficult conversation, as those are typically. And I haven't had to do it too many times, but every now and then I have to screw up the courage and have that difficult conversation. And I knew in that situation, I was betting my job by being assertive, or at least it felt that way. But he knew in his heart that I was loyal, because I wasn't going behind his back. I wasn't gossiping about him. I was defending him. I was trying to speak well of him when he wasn't present. He knew I was loyal and that what I was asking was reasonable and right. I appealed to his conscience and he knew it was right. And he walked out of that office and he did exactly what I asked. Thankfully, this kind of situation never came up again. Here's a question I'd like to leave you with from this segment, from this topic today. How have you handled working for a bad leader? How have you handled working for a bad leader? Leave your answer at michaelhyatt.com/85. If you'll scroll down to the bottom of the show notes, there's a place for you to leave your comments. or your questions, and I'd love to hear from you.
If you have something to say or sell in today's noisy world,
now you can get the inspiration, training, and tools you need to increase your influence and impact.
Platform University, a community of like-minded individuals led by one of Forbes magazine's top 50 social media influencers, Michael Hyatt.
Each month, you'll get access to
The Masterclass, where Michael interviews leading platform authorities.
Backstage Pass, a behind-the-scenes look at Michael's own platform business.
Member Makeover, with specific recommendations you can put to work now.
A live Q&A session where you can ask Michael your most burning questions.
And the discussion forum where our members support one another in their common quest.
Hi, this is Ryan Jenkins from ryan-jenkins.com. The most epic part of Platform University are the Backstage Pass videos. They provide me with the relevant nuts and bolts to take my business and platform to the next level.
Intrigued? Now it is the time to invest in building your own platform. PlatformUniversity.com.
So let's turn now to our listener Q&A segment. I had several questions on this topic that I've been saving for some time, and I thought I would just collect those and answer them here as it relates to the topic. Andy asks, what do you do when someone you love works for a bad leader? Well, I think one of the things to do is not be too quick to give advice. You know, I think you've got to listen. People often need the opportunity to process what they're experiencing and talk it through. And this is a role that Gail, my wife, has served for me through the years. And just to listen to me without judgment, without offering advice. By the way, I'm not very good at this. I really struggle because, you know, it usually becomes apparent to me what somebody needs to do. And I want to quickly offer the advice. I've gotten a little better as I've gotten older, and particularly as I've raised my five daughters. But you've got to be empathetic and listen and give them a chance to process it. And then I think help them expand their range of possibilities to see that they probably have more options than they think. But again, only after listening and being empathetic. I mean, you may want to share this podcast with them. Give them a chance to listen to this after you've listened to them and then talk about it, just the two of you, and see if they might come to some other alternative choices that they can make in order to resolve the situation. And my experience is that people usually come to the right conclusion if they can just talk it through, if somebody can kind of expand their thinking a little bit and help them get to the right answer. So Andy, great question. Hope that's helpful. Cheryl asks, what role does HR play in dealing with a bad boss? Well, this is a great question because, you know, in some situations you don't have an HR department, but if you're in a mid to large size company, you probably do have an HR department and you should avail yourself of that. But the question is the sequence. You know, when you go to HR, it's going to escalate the situation. I mean, basically what you're doing is you're saying, look, I'm coming to you because I can't get resolution myself. Now, I'm going to come back and talk about that in a minute. There's a different way to look at that. But typically what I've done in the past is I've only gone to HR if I wasn't getting traction with that person myself. I gave them the respect and the dignity of going to them individually, trying to get them to resolve it before I went to HR and called in some additional resources. When you're stuck, when you're not getting resolution, when the other person is not moving and they're refusing to change, then I think you got to bring in some other resources. And going to HR is definitely one of those. And if you've got a decent HR department, they will help you resolve it without, and this is what I've always felt and what other people have always usually feel when they're in this situation, they feel like maybe they're jeopardizing their own security by going to HR and reporting the boss. But this, you know, there's laws that protect you against that, whistleblower laws that protect you against that. But sometimes this is the only way to get it resolved. And the good news is that it causes courage to show up for you in a different sort of way. Anytime you're going to have to go to an outside resource, that appropriate resource, that's one of the beneficial things that happens to you. But I wouldn't go to them too soon, and I definitely wouldn't go to inappropriate resources like complaining to your coworkers or your boss's peers. That's only eventually going to get you in trouble. So resist that. HR is an appropriate resource. Now, Philip asked a very similar question. It's a little bit different take on this, but Philip said, when, if ever, is it appropriate to go to your boss's boss with a complaint about how your boss has handled an issue? I work in the medical field and I'm facing some issues now with my supervisor, which potentially compromise patient safety. My feeling is that I have a responsibility to my patients to take things up the chain as far as I need to go. Well, Philip, you're absolutely right. Now, again, I would go to your boss first and see if you can get some resolution. And I would explain to him very carefully and very clearly what the consequences are going to be if he doesn't comply. Now, I wouldn't be threatening. I wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't say it in a way that would cause him to react, but I would say, look, if you're unwilling to deal with this, you're going to leave me with no choice but to talk to your boss or to go to HR. This is where it's similar to the question that Cheryl asked. But you have a duty, an ethical duty to your patients, to the organization, even if it if you do this at risk to yourself. And it might be at risk to yourself, but you've got to be willing to do that. That's what separates leaders from non-leaders, is that leaders are willing to act in the best interest of the many, even though it may threaten their own security or their own survival. Fortunately, most of us don't have that situation very often, and it feels a lot worse than it actually is, but you've got to be willing to do that. Ashley asks, how do you decide whether to stay and fight or leave and find another job? Wow. Well, let's start with the fact that this is not science, it's art. I don't have a formula for you. You got to evaluate a lot of situations or a lot of circumstances in that situation to come to the right answer for you. But I think for me, if I didn't feel like I was getting any traction, if I called in some external resources like HR or my boss's boss, and I still wasn't feeling like I was getting any traction, then I would seriously consider quitting. You know, life's too short. You don't have to stay in a bad situation. You most likely have options, probably more options than you're really recognizing at the moment. So get some friends together, get somebody together that can be resourceful and be a resource for you and really consider your true options. But you sometimes get to that point. And I would rather do that than stay and be absolutely miserable and feel stuck. So try a few other things, but if you still feel stuck, then I think it's time to start looking for another job. Tim asks, what if you're working for someone who doesn't want to grow or change? What if they're not open to new ideas? Well, Tim, I've been in that situation too, and it's frustrating. I think, you know, kind of go back to number one that I shared earlier in the lesson about manage your expectations. You know, it could be that you just have high expectations. Maybe not, but maybe your expectations are too high. But just because someone else is unwilling to change doesn't mean you can't change and affect the organization below you. And I've been in this situation on more than one occasion where the person above me was a bad leader. They didn't want to change. They were perpetuating, you know, a negative culture. But I realized that it could stop with me, that I could create any kind of culture I wanted under me. Certainly there are going to be constraints. There are going to be influences that were coming from the larger corporate culture. But culture is determined mostly by the behavior of the leaders who are leading the culture. People are going to look at you about the choices you're making, and that's going to create the culture that they believe to be true and believe that they're operating in. So you can make different choices in those situations. If they're not open to new ideas, then, you know, do your best. I would say just keep your head down, keep working hard, certainly be open to new ideas under you. But eventually, these situations have a way of working themselves out. Now, you know, if you're in a government situation or a university where someone is tenured and they're just not going to move, then I think you kind of have to go back to what I was talking about in response to Ashley's question. And that is, you got to decide whether you're going to stay and fight or you're going to leave and find another job. You know, this isn't slavery, thankfully. You don't have to stay shackled to a job that you don't like, you don't love, is not productive. These are choices. And sometimes the mere acknowledgement or recognition of the fact that it's a choice, that you're choosing to stay in that situation, is liberating all by itself. Well, that's about all the time we have for questions this week. If you'd like to ask me a question, go to michaelhyatt.com/question. You can either leave me a voicemail message or email me with your question. As you've seen, if you've been listening to my episodes, I'm kind of going back and forth from week to week. Again, go to michaelhyatt.com/question to leave a message. I'll be back after the break with a few announcements and my tip of the week.
Thinking of starting your own blog but worried that your technical know-how is not up to scratch?
The good news is that starting blogging has never been easier.
Michael shares his knowledge with you for free and will show you that 20 minutes is all it takes to have your own blog up and running.
This is John D. Harrison from johndharrison.com. I started out with a free WordPress site, and if I would have applied your advice, started out with a self-hosted site, I really could have saved myself a lot of headaches. Self-hosted definitely is the way to go, and your screencast is the easiest way I know to make that happen.
Join Michael and follow his quick and easy step-by-step video tutorial at michaelhyatt.com/WordPress setup.
Take action now and start blogging today.
michaelhyatt.com/WordPress setup.
Well, I only have one announcement for this week, and it's this. People often ask me, can I pick your brain on something? Maybe they want to get together for coffee or get together for lunch or exchange emails, whatever. I finally decided to address this head on. And if you're interested in picking my brain on some subject, any subject, let me encourage you to go to michaelhyatt.com/pickmybrain. I've actually got a few options for you if you want to pursue that. Now let's move to the tip of the week. Now let me leave you with one final tip. Make time for friends. Gail and I just returned from a cruise with our friends Dan and Joanne Miller. You may know Dan Miller from his book, 48 Days to the Work You Love, or from his podcast, the 48 Days Podcast. But we're great friends. We live in the same location. We decided that we would take a cruise together. Dan actually invited us, and we had an absolutely fabulous time. It was great for a change to see some sunshine and get some warm weather. We were in the Western Caribbean and just did a lot of nothing. We laid around in the sun. We played cards. We took in a couple of shows and we talked and we talked and we ate and we talked some more. Well, tomorrow night, we've got several friends coming to dinner just to spend some time together because friends are a priority for us. And the point is you have to make time for friends. Your soul needs these friendships. And as a leader, this is one of the things that can keep you emotionally healthy and stable in the midst of challenging times. And if you're like me, it's very easy to stay focused on accomplishing more and more. The work's never done. There's always something else to do. And it's real easy to let this slide on your scale of priorities and not give your friendships the attention that they deserve. And frankly, you need. Well, I've got a list of five friends in my life plan that I plan to spend more time with this year. And I'm intentionally trying to be a better friend to them. And that begins by spending time with them. And maybe you don't have any friends in your life, or maybe you've got few friends. I would just encourage you, rather than trying to seek out friends that can be the kind of friend that you'd like to have, instead, target people and become the friend that you would like to have in return. And look for ways to serve them. Look for ways to love them. Look for ways to listen to them and to be empathetic. This is one of the most important things you need to do if you're going to be a healthy, emotionally secure, effective leader. So give it a try. Well, that's it for this episode of This Is Your Life. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please show the love by going to michaelhyatt.com/love and tweeting a link to the show. I'd be ever so grateful. That'll help us to get the word out. Well, thanks to the following people for rating my podcast on iTunes this past week. Tony Phillips, 23. S.C. Less, Dr. Harold Arnold, T.J.B., Sabas Flores, Charfar, Lord Gargantuan Foulspleen, I'm not making this up, C. Johnston Jacks, and Thad M. Thank you guys so much for leaving a review. That is hugely helpful in terms of keeping my podcast visible. And if you'd like to review my podcast, all you have to do is go to michaelhyatt.com/iTunes and you can assign it 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 stars. You can even write a review if you'd like. I'd love that as well. But until next time, remember, your life is a gift. Now go make it count.